I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Final hour of the program. Streaming live on YouTube and Twitch. The channel on YouTube is 104.3 WQAM. On Twitch, it's Miami 104.3 WQAM. As you heard, we got Game Day Uncensored coming your way Thursday at 4 p.m. Oof, a lot of radio that day. That'll be coming your way on Thursday. And of course, the Dolphins going into Buffalo. Good luck, boys. Headlines are brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Doral Hyundai, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Hyundai or at DoralHyundai.com. Mike Vrabel was on our sister station in Boston, Leroy, WEEI, the Murph.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave voice to, what you've been saying about the middle of the field and how they've been, their plan was against Tua. And this is what he had to say to WEI, the Greg Hill Show.
I mean, there's going to be a few, and I think maybe our whole intention was to defend, inside the numbers and make sure that was not where it was hurting us. We did okay there, and then obviously they felt comfortable throwing those outward breaking routes, and not that I'm accepting of it, but, we have to be able to say, this is what the game plan was. So I think that there's some plays that we certainly need to correct, and we can't have the ball thrown over our heads on third and, 15 and Tyreek Hill just blazing out of there. So that's those are concerns. But the other ones, some of them are on us and how we wanted to play the football game, making sure that they were, we were defending the middle of the field where they've had so much success.
Anybody realize that he's got the biggest Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee you've ever seen in your life in front of him?
So, there's a lot of truth to that. And kudos to the Dolphins for recognizing that and throwing it somewhere else. Right? That being said, you made it too easy for them to adjust when you just run sweeps and those quick passes outside.
Yeah.
If you notice, the touchdown to Achan wasn't the first option. And so everybody went to cover their little areas of the field, and Achan was wide open. And so you just kind of got
to say, this guy's been balling. I mean, he is I feel like he's gone.
He's a physical runner for as small as he is. He does run the ball physical, but if you get him in space, yikes, he can go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's probably your best offensive player and the different ways he can create plays.
I know people are mad at everybody, and especially, Zach Seeler, that they're accusing Zach Seeler of fat cat syndrome, but I'll tell you one thing. I didn't like that rat bastard Mike Vrabel going up and flirting with him after the game. I didn't like that at all. I was like, hey, you stay the hell away from our cowboy, all right? He was like, and he was like looking for him too. I didn't like. I was like, what are you doing here, Vrabes? Kind of felt like he was doing some cruiting around here. I'm like, don't do that. Get the hell away from Zach Seeler. I know what he's doing. He's laying that groundwork, dude. Hey, not happy.
Kind of like you do with Bam and talking to all the other players.
I don't like when it happens to me.
At least he admits it. But you are a hypocrite.
I don't like it. He's sitting there.
Oh my goodness,
Zach! What are you doing? After you go speak to that school, why don't you come speak it to some schools in New England?
Right.
I didn't like that. Didn't like that one bit at all. Not fun. Not fun. Your other games yesterday, Bengals, they beat the Jaguars 31-27, but their season's probably over because Joe Boothrow, he's got that turf toe.
Dude, calling it a turf toe makes people think that that, you know, he stubbed his toe. That's what people think when they think of turf toe. You know what they might have to do, right?
Surgery. Oh, the fusion, right?
You know what they do? They fuse this bone. So I don't know the extent of the surgery, but it's the same one. I want to say that O.J. McDuffie had something similar to that.
Yeesh.
He couldn't play.
Jay Gatto says, I don't want you to say, Tobin, I don't want you to say don't lose or must win the rest of the season because this season is over, good sir. Look, 0-2 is not a great start. I stand by everything that I've said. I think that I have described every game exactly right. I called week one a don't lose. They did. And the ramifications were as such. I said that this was a line in the sand game, and they pissed on that line. And now, yes, Thursday is
no,
it.
No, they didn't. They didn't do that.
They pissed on it.
Because if you had done that, at least you were defending the line. They just opened the door and let the people just walk over the line. Come on over. Don't worry about that line. It ain't stopping
us. Yeah, and then Thursday is absolutely a must win. I suppose you could have a valiant effort and Mike McDaniel won't get fired.
So,
but it's a must win. Like if you're 0-3, you're done. You're cooked.
Here's what sucks about that. On the road,
I know.
Thursday night, you're claiming this what that's it is against that team.
That's why you don't love
like you're not
team.
Even being you're not even being fair to yourself.
I understand, but I don't make the rules. That's why you don't lose that game.
What's the point spread? 13, right?
13.5 last I checked. I'll see if it's gone up.
Dude, is it 14 yet?
I'm checking. It is. Oh, yeah, we still got games this week, don't we? Still 13.5.
Yep, it's Tobin's fault.
What?
I told you. You label every game and get everybody all hot and bothered.
I don't label every game just willy-nilly. I put thought and consideration into these labels.
Really? Really? You're a show pony. There's no thought
that's
in a
not
show
fair.
Pony.
That's not true. I'm not a show pony. Please stop saying really? That. It's not true. It's not
okay.
True.
All right, I got
very
you.
Thoughtful. We also had some boxing this weekend. I enjoyed the hell out of that. Canelo Alvarez, he was asked. Well, first let me give you Bud Crawford. Bud Crawford, he was asked afterwards about, you know, he was saying, I'm the best of this era after he beat Canelo Alvarez soundly. Some of those scorecards are a little close for my liking. But soundly, he wins a unanimous decision over Canelo Alvarez. This was Bud on the podium afterwards. And what he had to say about who's the best.
With the way you beat Canelo tonight, Spence a couple of years ago, everyone is going to start making comparisons with your legacy to Floyd Mayweather. How do you feel you compare with Floyd with the resume you have now?
Listen, Floyd was the greatest in his era. I'm the greatest in my era. It ain't no need to compare me to Floyd or Floyd to me.
Well, that's very adorable, Bud, but unfortunately, welcome to sports. So we're going to compare, and to do so, we are going to bring in the man who faced them both, and that was Canelo Alvarez. And this is what Saul had to say afterwards when asked about that same question, which I kind of feel like he's got a big input on this.
He deserves all the credit. No, I try my best tonight. And I just cannot figure out the style. He have everything. I try my best tonight.
Compare and contrast the fight between yourself and Floyd Mayweather Jr. and tonight's bout with Terrence Bud Crawford, if you can.
No, I think Crawford is way better than Floyd Mayweather.
Man. All right.
And listen, guy's got 3 losses. 2 of them are to those 2 guys. He should know. Now, I will say this. Sometimes your worst loss is your most recent loss. Right? It's hard to have perspective right after you lose. However, and then keep in mind, and let's be clear about this, Canelo is probably the best version of a boxer he's going to be. He wasn't that when he fought Mayweather.
He was 23, yeah, super young.
He was young. And so from that standpoint, he was more susceptible to the, you know, being aggressive and getting worked and moved around like Floyd did.
Mm-hmm.
He is the best version of Canelo that you're going to get now as far as wise, as far as figuring things out and whatever. So the fact that he said Crawford, because he used all of his tactics, all the tactics that he's acquired through all those years of fighting, and still said, I could not touch this man. If he could go back to Floyd, I think maybe he would be a little bit different then with Floyd.
I also think
he could not touch this man at the best version of himself.
I'm trying to remember what that fight was. It was like at a. It was. I mean, he had to go down for that fight on the weight too. Like Canelo's best weights were like 160, 168. That's where his best career was.
Right.
And right. I think the thing that is impressive about Bud. That's different, and I get it. It's just what it is, because when you fought Floyd, you fought on Floyd's terms, and that's what it is. Boxing, a lot of the times, the A side gets to dictate terms. But with Crawford going up in weight like that, I mean, that's
two
just
weight classes.
That's
and he
that's
even
just
said
so
weight
impressive
for a reason.
That's so impressive. I don't think people realize. You know, some guys go up a weight class; they're not the same. Floyd wasn't the same going up in weight. You know, Floyd was a more devastating puncher in the lower weight classes. Now, he did have a lot of hand injuries that hurt that, and he had to change his style. And
that's
I think
why he became the Floyd Mayweather we know.
Right. And so that's a credit to, because you literally it's like it was almost like fighting a ghost. I mean, you could look at everybody could go to the clean shots Floyd's taken. You can't even go through a full hand. You probably could do the three shots he's gotten hit with in his career. Like it's ridiculous how good he was defensively. It wasn't the greatest watch always, because he usually was a matador. He could get people to just look stupid. And Terrence Crawford is just, I think he's just cut from a different cloth as far as that's not the, and you know, he also doesn't have the personality. Like, he doesn't like playing the bad guy. Like, he just is who he is. He wants to show up, box, show that he's the best in the world. And Floyd was better about building up a fight and making everybody hate his guts. I don't know that Terrence Crawford, if he wasn't 37, if let's say he had this moment and still had a prime of 5 more years, can he get everybody to tune into one of his fights like they tuned into this one? I don't know that that's the case. That is kind of the magic of Floyd. He has this X factor that everybody wanted to see him lose, and he knew it, and he knew you had no chance. But just going like, who do I think's better? I think I might go with Canelo, dude. I mean, I just think this guy's so damn good. He's versatile. I really think he could have knocked him out. I really do. I think his coach should play conservative. Yeah, Crawford. I'm sorry. I really think Crawford could have put him away. I really do. I really do. Yeah. I don't, and I'm not being prisoner of the moment about this stuff. I care about this stuff. People know. And I think it was so impressive with how he beat Canelo this past fight. But look, Floyd's still great. I'm not taking anything away from him.
But this is having to choose between Jordan or LeBron. Like, why do you have to choose? Why can't they both be great?
Well, that's what Crawford's trying to do, and I'm trying not to sell out here. I'm trying to be like, listen, I'm going to come up with the decision. And I think that, look, I think Floyd will probably go down because everybody just – all of those fights felt so mega because he was able to do that. But, again, like, it wasn't the most entertaining stuff in the world. And this guy, every time he stepped onto the big stage, he's not only taken on his competition, he's blown his competition out of the water with stuff now, that – they can't even.
You know, the last person I could think of that Tyson wasn't that personable, and you paid for a 1-minute fight.
Yeah.
Half his fights were 1-2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and you still paid full weight for 1 or 2 minutes. So, like, they have been boxers, but you either have to be a knockout artist or you have to talk your way into it. Floyd was a talker. He was one of those guys that promoted the hell out of his fights. Tyson was a knockout artist, but Tyson didn't really have a personality.
No,
you know, when he fought, but he would just, he destroyed some of the biggest boxers in the game, like in minutes.
Yeah, Floyd's got this thing that he's going to have an influence for right or wrong, like about how to sell a fight. Like, he's a big part of that. Of like, you say this all the time, Leroy, I don't care about tiny people fighting.
Right,
he's a wee lad 147 at the most. And
right.
Everybody, the world stopped because they were hopeful somebody could beat him, and they couldn't.
Right. Exactly. It's like there's nothing more uninteresting to me than watching 240 or less fighters swing and punch 600 times in a round, or 300 times around, and not hurt each other. Like, it's hard to have a knockout artist that in that weight class.
Mm-hmm.
And they just constantly punch. It's like Rock'em Sock'em Robots when you watch little guys fight.
Oh, man. And the smaller you go, the more punches they throw.
They never stop punching. The more amazing thing for them is not that they're hurting each other. How can one human being punch that much and not be tired?
It's crazy. But I had a fun time. Great performance. I don't know where either one goes from here. I don't know. I think rematch probably, but honestly, it's kind of a.
Would you, if you're Canelo, would you do it?
I don't know.
I mean, you get another big payday.
Another big payday.
But the fact of the matter is that you could tell how frustrated he was after that fight.
Yep.
You want to go through that again? Or do you want to try to redeem yourself? Like a competitor wants to try to redeem himself.
I saw Turkey was saying, can David Benavidez go back to 168? And I was like, David Benavidez versus that. See, like, that's a big 168er to take on Crawford. I don't think Crawford's stupid enough to do that. He's like, because he was like, the thing that he said, and this was so spot on the whole time, was like, hey, he's not that big a 168er. It's a credit to Canelo that he's gone as hard as he is, not being very big. Like, right. He's 5'8". He's got a shorter reach than Terrence Crawford. David Benavidez, we've been in the studio with him. He's a legit big dude. Like, he's, you know, that. But I'm not saying that Terrence Crawford couldn't do it, but I don't think that he will fight that fight. I think he's going to be like, you're nuts, Turkey. Like, have me do Canelo again. Let's do that, dude. Otherwise, he's going to go live in Omaha with his $100 million.
Hey, can he make the money right?
I don't know.
Might be too good to pass.
He's Turkey. He's got as much money as he wants.
But again, that's what he wants to do. He is tired, and kudos to him. He just wants the big fights.
Yeah.
I don't care about all your promotions. I don't care about all this. I just want to see you guys fight.
Can I tell you one thing? It's also I was locked in on this. Shreethan says Tobin loves fight talk. Look at him. He's glowing like a Christmas ham.
Oh yeah. I'm telling you, it's the only time he would never stumble with words. He would get every name right. Like, dude last week was saying Coey.
Yeah, I did. By the way, we got to talk about this intangibles fight that happened. Oh, we got to get into that. But anyway, I couldn't help. Did you notice this during the fight, Leroy? Because I couldn't stop looking at how uninterested Dana White was in this fight. Yeah. I kept looking through the ring, and I just kept seeing it like this. Like, he's like texting. You know what else?
Hey, Netflix. Look, kudos. I appreciate you putting it on for us. It was an enjoyable fight. I liked the card. Started a little bit too late. Lasted too long. But that's okay. I got it for free. I got it for my little $15 a month. Awesome. You're never going to get a fight that big for that little. Right?
Right.
However, Prime did it too. This is not an advertisement for all your shows you got coming out.
Oh,
yeah. Show all the people in the stands coming in. Coming in November. Coming in October.
And there's like, Josh Duhamel.
They got people sitting there that I know damn well wouldn't be in that fight if they wasn't doing no movie on Netflix.
I know it was a big fight because Michael Irvin showed up in person. He wasn't at the Canes game.
Yeah.
I saw Norman Powell was there from the Heat. Terry Rozier was there.
Yep. We knew he was there because he took a picture outside.
Yeah.
Charlize Theron was there.
Yep.
All the people who got shows coming on Netflix was there. I'm like, really? What's really, that? Netflix?
Charlie Sheen. You can see his new Netflix documentary, a.k.a. Charlie Sheen.
Right. Michael J. Fox was there.
Yep. Yep. Magic Johnson. Crazy, dude. Fun night.
All of the Clippers.
All of them. Do you think that was circumvented through the salary cap that they got those tickets?
No, because when we went to Vegas, we saw them there. It was an all-star weekend.
Yeah. So anyway, but the Dana White thing, I was like, does he like this? Do you think he's just seen too many fights?
I think he's just seen so many fights that he's just doing what he got to do.
Yeah.
Right.
He didn't do a press conference afterwards. I'm like, isn't that the point? Like, why? He's the promoter. Anyway, it was a late night. I will say that. The press conference was like 3 a.m. It was going late.
It was brutal, dude. I'm like, are you bleeping kidding me? With like, I remember I turned it on, and here, let me explain to you something. You know what it's like being a man with three other women in the house who are watching the same Netflix show, mm-hmm. but in different episodes.
Oh my God. Like in waves.
And then I go to put the fight on and they go, too many people on Netflix, buddy. So now I got to go and negotiate for one of them to get off, even though they're all watching the same show.
Couldn't one of you catch up later?
So what was the show?
I don't know. It was an old show.
Love is Blind,
know.
UK.
No, it wasn't Love is Blind. Because if it was Love is Blind, I would have just went and just, boop, home, get out. Like, we're not doing that. So, Rebecca was watching the show in one room. Mel was watching it in the front. And Mima was watching it in her room. It's the same show.
Crazy.
I said, y'all can't join up?
Well, we'll take a break. More to come here on the show. We're back after this.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 104.3 FM, WQAM. Last night, we had the Falcons handle the Vikings 22-6. Bijan, is it Bijan? Is that how you said I have to say it now?
Yeah, now they go Bijan.
Bijan Robinson, 143 yards rushing. The Eagles topped the Chiefs 20-17. First time the Chiefs have been 0-2, I think since 2014. First time in Patrick Mahomes' career.
But here's the difference. Do you have any question that they'll be there in the end?
I feel like they've been using some voodoo these last couple of years. There's got to be a time where it runs out. Because
they've been winning with no weapons.
They've been, and by the way, Mr. Taylor Swift, whoo, Stonehenge yesterday. Puts the old pickup there for the Eagles. And then they,
you know what that is?
You know what they do.
Rule number one in football, when you run a route, as soon as you plant that foot and turn in, your head better be the first thing to come around because that ball's going to be there.
Oh man, that was rough. That was a rough.
Not too rough. You seem to be reveling in it.
Well, I'm not reveling in it. I'm not like a Travis. Like,
wait. Why? Let me ask you.
You can't have the whole world. I'm sorry.
That guy has done nothing wrong.
I'm not like Marcos.
And you attacked. Oh, Miss Tate.
I think you are. You're proving it right now.
I'm not like Marcos, who's like been on this Travis Kelce kick for a while, hoping on his downfall. But you can't have it all. You can't get to marry the most famous person in the world, be awesome at football, and have a couple things. He's had 2 weeks. He's injured a teammate, and now he lost a game, sending up an interception.
Hey, can I just say this? You going after old Mr. Tate. And then getting on me, who I've been very good. Very good today.
Don't do me.
I'm not going to mention no names.
You already did.
He brought it up.
Segments ago, you already did.
I may or may not have it locked and loaded.
For next segment?
We were sitting on the couch. We saw in the corner that Pittsburgh Steelers score. That's the word. And he's like, what are those Aaron Rodgers numbers looking like?
I don't like the way they do the scores. I like the scroll.
No, I know.
The scroll tells you where the ball is. They give you stats.
Right.
So you know who has the ball, who's driving, or whatever. They just put up the score like NCAA. Like, yeah, I don't like that.
Like, yeah, what's up with that? All of a sudden, we're like, we're going with less distractions. It's like, just put it up there.
I want to scroll. I need more, especially after that.
Yeah, that was rough. Did you see this, by the way? I saw this video went viral over the weekend of, you familiar with Ken Rosenthal?
Yeah.
Baseball reporter.
Yeah.
You know?
What did he do?
So he was doing this, so the Brewers win a walk-off, they got a walk-off win on Saturday, and he's interviewing the Brewer that won it, right? And yeah. They, you know what happens, like the reporter.
They throw the water on him.
They throw the Gatorade on somebody. He tries to get out of the way, and in the midst of all this, he runs into a cameraman, and look at the look he gives this cameraman for just living his life. So he's there celebrating. This poor cameraman just gets knocked over and just like.
Wait, what is he? Why does he look so short?
He is very short. No, he's tiny.
He looks very short.
No, he's very tiny. Holy smokes. He's very tiny. But like, look at this. Look at this look of disgust.
Oh my goodness.
Like, well, you were the one that bumped into him too.
You know what's amazing? Here's what's amazing. Look at that look. Without realizing this. If he wasn't in the way, your ass would have backed up into the dugout.
Right. 100%.
Right.
Your ass would have.
And you're staring at him. He stopped you. Look. He wasn't looking.
He is giving, for our radio audience, Ken Rosenthal is giving a look as if, like, he is at a diner and the waiter has just spilled food over him. Disgusted. Like, how dare you offend the great Ken Rosenthal? Like, does that not look like the face of somebody who has kept Barry Bonds out of the Hall of Fame?
It doesn't look like the person that's lucky that guy was there or you would have been in the dugout.
He is like, he's like, ugh, look what you, like, it's not like he ruined your interview. You're fine, Ken Rosenthal. But the look
in
that
fact,
he's.
That's part of it. That's part of it. The interviewer trying to get out of the way of the water.
Right.
That's always been part of it.
He is sitting there and he's so mad at the guy. Like, what did he do?
He should have made sure and that guy was okay.
He does a double check back.
You know what? If I was that camera guy, I would have looked up and say, pipe down, wee man.
He's like, he gives him the look of death. And then all of a sudden is like, he goes back, he looks and he goes, you bum, get out of here.
Like, I mean, he saved him.
He's smiling.
He ought to be. He already said thank you, because I promise you, his butt would have been in the dugout.
Like, what is that, Ken Rosenthal? Oh my God!
You want to so like that's so rude to me.
Somebody
I hate
said he's
stuff
the
like
same
that.
Size as the cooler.
He is really.
He's very.
I did not real. First of all, you and keep in mind, a lot of these people you only see at a desk.
Yep.
Or the top half of them.
Oh yeah.
Right. I never knew he was that
short. Oh, he's tiny, dude. No, he's tiny. He's tiny.
And if I was the cameraman, I would have looked up.
As a young...
Like, I didn't even know you. Notice you. My camera was over you.
As a young producer for Sid Rosenberg, not the greatest interactions with the guy.
Really?
Oh, no. That guy right there is like, I am the guardian of baseball. That's what he feels. Like, he feels like when you call him, like, angel trumpet sound.
I kind of, you know what? That kind of annoys me in all sports, right? Like, I know a lot about football, but I don't claim to be the foremost expert because everybody sees things differently.
Yep.
Right? As to why. When your team loses, there's a lot to grasp at.
Yep.
So.
Do you want to laugh?
I always want to laugh.
He's my height.
No, he's very tiny.
Oh, he's.
He might be shorter than you, Jennifer.
I didn't need that because you could tell the way the jacket meet the pants. Like if you just look at the jacket and pants combo, look at where the jacket is. Now go. Now it looks like you've got shorts on. Right? Like the pants shorts. Are so, the pants are the same length as the jacket.
Did you see his little shoes?
Look at his little shoes.
Like, look at that guy like that.
How could you be that upset after a walk-off win in baseball? Like, you should be the happiest you've ever been. You know?
No, he's like, I'm going to bless you with my presence. I'm going to interview you after your big hit.
Congratulations, you're getting interviewed by Ken Rosenthal.
Can't think. Have you ever thought? Have we ever had anybody like that in football? I think there's so many. That if one acted that way, we wouldn't.
I mean, the guy that you think of is actually a baseball guy first, right? Joe Buck, when he pulled his move. I know Joe Buck's really, like, you know, smooth that over. That I am not sanctimonious, but when he was a young broadcaster, he was.
Oh yeah, like he went after Randy.
He went after
Randy. Was he in the locker room with Dion when they won the World Series?
Probably no. That was Tim McCarver, wasn't it?
Tim McCarver.
Yeah, no, Tim. Right. Now baseball is full of them. They're full of them.
Right, man. Right. Like I don't understand it because think about this: of all the major sports, baseball is the least exciting to just sit and watch. Right? Everybody's got constant action. Baseball is a little bit slower. So the last thing you want is somebody standing on their high horse over a sport that, like, yeah, like, never mind, dude. I'll just go watch something else.
Some high horses are shorter than others, though.
You talking about a high chair.
All right, we'll take a break back after this.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tobin and Leroy here with you on 104.3 FM, WQAM. Been good recapping it with everybody. We got to make this a quick all right and oh no for today, but I'll start off. My all right goes to Mark Fletcher of the Miami Hurricanes. My God. I mean, he is just an absolute horse back there for the Canes, bowling over all the bulls. I mean, it was very impressive what he was doing. Apparently in Tampa Bay, they have the running of the Fletchers. Now I'll take my minus one. I apologize.
Minus one.
But he's good. 120 yards, two touchdowns. Very impressive. My oh no. I mean, where do I even start? I mean, who do you pick? Everybody. All of them. The lot of them. I guess I'm going to go with Anthony Weaver. Dude. Bob and Weave, I only go on you because I can't pick one defender. I can't pick them.
Oh, no.
All of them. So I'm going to go with Anthony Weaver. Sorry. Pains me. I like the guy, but, you know. Leroy? Can Leroy not hear us? No? Did you unplug yourself,
it's
dude?
Not.
There we go.
Ah, there you go. Okay. Well, my oh, no. My all right went to Mark Fletcher, Leroy.
Yeah.
My oh no went to Anthony Weaver. What do you got for us, buddy? We got to make it a little snappy.
My all right is going to go to Crawford. I'm amazed at how good he has been against some of the best boxers that we thought were walking the face of the earth, and he just pieced them all up. And my oh no. Are you in there, buddy? Aaron Rodgers, I told you, Clouds, stop it. Stop it. He's 40. He's going to start looking real old. Are you going to hang your hats on beating the Jets? You idiots.
The way you got me, I thought you were talking to your dog for a second.
I was looking in my pocket. I was like, because in the beginning of the show, I told him, what did I say? I'm going to save that for later.
Yeah, he's had him in his pocket for a while.
That's true. He really got me.
Leroy.
Jennifer, what's your all right? No, no.
Quickly, my all right goes to the Canes for giving us something to look forward to. With football, you know? And also to the guy who came through with a banner over Hard Rock Stadium, saying fire Greer and McDaniel. I can't speak, obviously. And my own no goes to Mike McDaniel for thinking he used Shakespeare once again and giving us a words means words situation.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
Well said.
Thank you so much for that.
Yep.
We won't see so that informative. On any walls.
Brittany?
All right, quickly. My all right goes to, I don't know if you guys saw, but the indie owner, Carly, she was on the sideline with a headset.
Going
to the place taking notes.
Yeah, so she does it every game.
I think that's awesome. And I
she was doing it before, though. She was doing it before her dad died. She was, she's been into it.
The more you know. But yeah, I saw that. It went viral. People were not happy about it, but I thought it was cool. So that's my all right. And my oh no goes to Tua. Because I'm no. Because I'm so sick of him, respectfully, and
at least it's respectfully.
It's respectfully. You know, I understand he's a good man and everybody loves him, but as a person, but I can't stand him as a football player, and I'm tired of his defensiveness when it comes to answering questions, and yeah, I'm just sick of it. So he's my own now.
Oof. Off the top rope.
Wow. Well done.
Boom.
Jeez. Well, at least she said respectfully, though. She did say respectfully. If you say respectfully, you can't get mad at it.
That's also like, hey, no disrespect, but buckle up. No offense. Buckle up just in case.
I'm working on your
point. Do I have one for you tomorrow with the whole no offense situation?
Man. Wow. Lots to get to. Still didn't even get to a lot today. This show could have been 6 hours today. It really could have. But unfortunately, it's not. So we will bid you adieu. You guys will have to stick around for Hawkman, Crowder, and Solana for the next 4 hours.
Bit us a dud.
Yep, they sure did. They sure did. That's our show, everybody. We'll talk to you rascals tomorrow.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.